Let us turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we'll read 2 verses. Chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The thief in here obviously is pointing to the devil and the work of the devil is to come and steal and to kill and destroy lives. I come that I, meaning the Lord Jesus, come that he will give us life, his life, the gift of eternal life. And more than that, he will give that life to us more abundantly. And he point out to us that he indeed is that good shepherd, because he laid down his very life for all of us. Let us turn to Genesis chapter 3. This is the story, of course, about the fall, the stumbling, the failure of Adam and Eve. What happened in here is that they have heard the suggestion or the temptation of the serpent, and they have eaten the forbidden fruit, because God previously has told them that they can eat of all of the fruit trees in the Garden of Eden, and the one that they should not eat would be the forbidden fruit. However, they listened to the voice and the suggestion and the temptation of the devil, and they ate it. And let's take a look at chapter 3 from verse 8 through 10. 8 through 10. This is after they ate it. And verse 8 in there. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." This morning we would like to take a look at this question that God asked Adam and Eve, and that question was in verse 9. Where are you? God is calling out to all of those who have gone astray from him. And in here we know that God would not have called out to Adam if Adam would have given God a warm welcome. And we can take a look at what was Adam's condition when God came seeking for him. When God called out to Adam, he found himself to be shameful before God. He was fearful in the presence of God. He was fearful of the uncertain future that he had to go through because of his choice of taking the forbidden fruit. Now, and actually he tried to hide himself from God. The question is this: where would Adam be able to hide himself from the all-knowing God? Where would Adam be able to hide from a God who sees everything, the past, present, and into the future? God knows everything. Is there any hidden things that God would not know, that we can hide from Him? In fact, King David has once said that, where can I hide? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, thou art also there. So in other words, our inner condition is laid bare before God. There isn't anything in our heart that God would not know. Now, other people may not know your inside story. Other people, when they look at you, when they even talk to you, they may not know exactly your heart's condition, what it is, your inside story, the story of your life, your hidden life. But for God, your inside condition, the condition of your heart, is laid bare, totally open before God. Now, since God knows everything, why did God ask this question, "Where are you, Adam?" Didn't God know where Adam and Eve has done? Didn't God see where they were hiding? Obviously, this question, when God asked, "Where are you?" is not for God, because He knew everything. This question, "Where are you?" is for them, and today, for you and for me. So the question that we need to ask ourselves today is, what is our spiritual condition before the Lord today? You know, in the Bible, the garden typifies our heart. Before the fall, before Adam and Eve fall into this temptation, their hearts were always open toward God. They had a clean and innocent heart. Every time when God would come to the garden to meet with them, they would come and welcome God. In other words, their hearts were a welcoming place for God. Brothers and sisters, when we are saved, our hearts were washed and cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts are the welcoming place for God as well. He would frequently come and talk to us, and He would come and teach us each and every step of our way so that we would know how to live our life. And indeed, you know what? For those people who are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord, our heart should be a locked garden. It should be a fountain sealed up just for God, so that it will be, our hearts will be a place where we will commune with God, where we will have a sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus. Now, so let us ask ourselves this question. When was the last time you really enjoyed the presence of God? When was it? When you come to the meeting, were you all looking forward to it? Have you been having this yearning in your heart for the Lord, so that you can come into His presence and enjoy Him? Is your love for Him growing every day? We know that the Lord is good and wonderful for us, and yet in our experience, many a times we still find spiritual dryness in our life. And if God come calling us, where are you? Sometimes we don't even feel that we're ready to answer His call. We may say in our heart that, wait for a moment, because there are still a few things that I need to take care of in my life. I'm not too excited about you calling me right now at this time. Now, brothers and sisters, if this is the condition of your heart, if your heart is not a welcoming place that God can fellowship with you any moment of our life, Then let me tell you, this question that God prompted to Adam and Eve, where are you? It's the message for you. So please do not hear this message for somebody else. God is asking us, where are we today? And this call echoed throughout the history of mankind. Now, to God, this question, where are you, is actually an expression of God's grief. This is not a call of disappointment as far as God is concerned, because God knows our frame. This is a call of sadness, a call of yearning. This is a deep yearning in God's heart. No, this is not a call for punishment, but rather it is a call of God for love and compassion towards the lost condition of man. It truly broke God's heart when he saw his created being would rather choose to listen and follow the lies of the serpent than to simply put their trust in him. Because sometimes we may think that, well, maybe God is hiding something good from us, as the serpent suggests. And as a result, we would end up going away from him. Now, the Lord Jesus described our lost condition in three different ways in the book of Luke, chapter 15. So let us turn to Luke, chapter 15, and see how the Lord Jesus described those who have become lost. Luke chapter 15, we can see that Jesus is describing the lost condition of man in the first way is we are the lost sheep. And that is from verse 3 to 7 of Luke 15. And the second lost condition is we are the lost coin from verse 8 to 10. And the third one is that we are the lost son. And somebody called it the prodigal son from verse 11 to 32. So let us take a look at all these three lost conditions. The first one, the lost sheep. Maybe I'll ask Solomon to read from verse 3 to 7. Read it out loud and slow for us, please. Luke chapter 15. Thank you. Now in here we can see the story of the lost sheep. How did Adam, and in this case we, fall into this condition? Now obviously Adam had a wrong choice. He chose to listen to the devil's voice. We many a times we choose to listen to the voice of the world, the suggestion of our own nature. And as a result, we fall into the same situation. We think that there must be something else more exciting in this world that we need to pursue other than what God has for us. So we go to explore things on our own, going on our own way, trying to make something out of our life as we see fit. Consequently, our hearts are leaning more toward our own agenda than that of God. You know, there's a song in this world, and that song I think may be not familiar with the young people, but quite familiar with the old folks. And that song is called I Did It My Way. It is a song with a very independent spirit, because in that song, one some of the lyrics said that I would chart my course. I would plan my way. I would do everything according to what I see is best. Just like the song, it's Christ on the throne of your life. You know, the second stanza, just exactly like what it described in there. Now, this kind of spirit of depending on self to determine their own future, this is the condition of the people of the world. This is how they would live. But unfortunately, this is also the condition of many carnal Christians who will live according to their flesh, instead of coming before God and allow God to lead their life. And the result? We unknowingly have gone astray. We are actually that number 100 lost sheep. Yes, the shepherd has 100 sheep. The number 100 sheep used to be led by the shepherd, along with the other 99. It used to be in the fold because it belongs to the shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. But now, it has lost its way, away from the fold. Let me ask you this question. Are you in God's fold at the moment? Where are you? We know that when we talk about lost sheep, we normally in our mind, we will picture a sheep that has fallen into a pit, that has been caught in some thorn bushes, that couldn't get out. And you may say to yourself, well, you know, if that be the case, why would I be like the lost sheep? I did not fall into a pit. I was not trapped. But you see, from a spiritual viewpoint, the picture of the lost sheep describes exactly our condition. Many a times, even though we have not fallen into a physical pit, but we have fallen into our own self-centeredness. We have fallen into our own trap of the trap of our own aspiration in life. We have fallen into the trap and the pit and being entangled by the affairs of this world. We get ourselves totally sucked in so much in whatever we are doing, whether it be a career, whether it be your studying, your schooling, or whether it be even a relationship. We get sucked in. We get trapped into those situations that somehow we find ourselves unable to get out. Our self-centeredness is that big trap that we just cannot get away. Now, you may be physically still in the church. The question is your heart there? Are you coming to meeting and fellowship, and somehow you're not quite participating in church life? Somehow you detach yourself from other things in the house of God, and somehow that open fellowship with others, Christians, have become infrequent. You become withdrawn. You become a loner. If this is your condition, you are that lost sheep. The shepherd is very concerned about you. He wants you to come back into his fold. That's why he is asking that question, where are you today? We know that the Lord Jesus is our good shepherd. He knew who his sheep was. He was very specific in his search for his lost sheep. And as such, when he was on earth, he specifically went to Galilee to look up for Peter and Andrew, because they were fishermen. And he brought them into his fold. After following the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years, then the trial came. And we knew the story of how Peter denied his Lord. At that time, in the high priest's courtyard, Peter was warming himself. He was among the crowd because he was cold and frightened at that time. And at that moment, though our Lord was suffering from severe beating and also from interrogation, the great shepherd's eyes still searching out for Peter. He found where Peter was hiding. And when their eyes met, the look of compassion and the look of forgiveness from the Lord's eyes really broke Peter's heart. At that moment, Peter discovered that he has done a terrible thing. He had denied the Lord. He has quickly fallen away from the Lord, especially when he has told the Lord that, "I will never deny you." But this is the very thing he ended up doing. Peter was the number one disciple of the Lord. But with this fall, he knew that he was not even worthy to be called the least of his disciples. Peter thought to himself, "This is it for me. I'm through. I'm done. I cannot follow the Lord because I promised not to deny him, and this is exactly what I ended up doing." When the Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, came to seek for Peter, the door of Peter's office has a little sign in there. And you know what that sign is? Gone fishing. Peter, the fisherman, went back to his old trade. Peter now embarked into his own agenda, the one that was not intended by God for this guy. No, God has a different purpose for his life. The same way God has a different purpose for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God desired that they would partake into the tree of life so that they are able to fulfill the purpose of his creator in their life. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve chose a different agenda for their life. And their failure is repeated millions of times by his descendants, meaning you and me. We've been in our own life making our own choice, making our own call. We will decide what's best for our life. We will make that call ourselves. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what is most important in your life right now? What is your agenda in life? Are you choosing God's life, or are you choosing to do according to what your agenda in life is? Is your direction in life in sync with that of God? We need to ask that question to ourselves. Did the Good Shepherd leave Peter in that lost condition? We know the answer is no. Jesus came to the Sea of Tiberias calling for Peter. He said, "Children, do you have any fish?" He has another question in here. When Peter was doing his fishing toy the whole night, and then the Lord came seeking for this lost ship, "Do you have any fish?" Now, my experience tells me that you can labor real hard for your goal, whether it be a degree, whether it be a career, whether it be whatever you feel in the blank. But if your heart is not in the right, has not the right relationship with God, you will answer exactly the same way as Peter. And we know that answer is no. Peter did not catch any fish. Others may actually prosper and succeed doing the same thing. But you, as the sheep of God, as a child of God, God loves you too much to allow you to continue to remain in your error. When Peter answered no, this was also the shepherd's wake-up call to his lost sheep. Again, I want to say, whenever the Lord asks us a question, it is not because he did not know that Peter caught nothing. No, the question was not for the Lord, but rather that question is for us. The questions are oftentimes when the Lord asks that question, oftentimes it becomes very convicting to us. And then Jesus proceeds to ask him this very question. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? And of course, the Lord is asking you the same question now. Do you love me more than this? Do you still insist in your own agenda over the one that God has prepared for you? Where are you now? Do you know why he laid down his life for you? Why he shed his precious blood for you? So that you may continue to live your own life apart from him and his church? Do you know the heart of the shepherd? That he wants all his lost sheep to be gathered back into his fold? The voice of the good shepherd is calling out to all of us, where are you? Now let's take a look at the second description of our lost condition, and that's the lost coin in Matthew chapter 15 verse 8 to 10. Luke chapter 15 verse 8 to 10. Can I ask Solomon to help us once again to read from verse 8 to 10, loud and slow?
A wicked woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner.
Okay, thank you. We are seeing here this woman has 10 silver coins. And somehow she lost one coin. The question that we again need to contemplate is, are you still hiding in the dark corner of the house as that one lost coin, thinking that no one really noticed you at all? You think you can... You can hide yourself so well that no one even know that you're there, even though you truly is a child of God. If you are in such a condition, let me tell you, you are that number 10 silver coins that the woman has lost. In other words, you are that lost coin, the coin that is missing from the woman's hand. This number 10 coin is lost in darkness, as it says in the story. It has lost its usefulness because it is not in the woman's hand. Now, again, we need to ask this question. Where are you today? Are you still shortchanging the master who gave you this gift of eternal life, who gave you this one talent? We know that many Christians, after they receive the gift of eternal life, they just would not really be too diligent to do anything about that gift. God has given us that one talent. What do you do with that talent that God has given us? Some Christians would just simply dig a hole and hide it under the ground. But you see, the silver coin is useless unless it is placed in the hand of the owner. If it is sitting in a dark corner, it's not useful. Now, there's one thing that we must pay attention to. Notice that this coin is still in the woman's house. But because it is not placed in the woman's hand, it has become useless to her. By the same token, you may be coming to church meeting regularly, but because you are unwilling to make yourself available to God, because you are unwilling to make yourself accountable to His service, the Lord cannot make good use of that which rightfully belongs to Him. Paul reminds us that we are bought with a price, the price of the precious blood of the Lord, and we need to glorify Him in our body. Why did the man hide the one talent that his master gave him? His excuse was that he didn't quite know how to make good use of the talent, and he was afraid of losing that talent. He was afraid of losing it, so he dug in the ground and he hid his master's talent, his master's money. Now this is the same condition as the lost coin hidden in darkness. It has become unproductive when you have that lost coin sitting in darkness. Do you know the answer the Lord gave to this guy who hid his talent? The Lord answered and said, "You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put your money in the bank, and on my arrival I would then be able to receive my money back with interest. Therefore, take away this talent from this guy and give it to the one who has 10 talents. And then cast this worthless slave into the outer darkness, in the place where there shall be whipping and gnashing of teeth." Notice the way that the Lord answered. He said that he described this fellow who hid his talent. He said that, "Wicked and lazy servant." One thing that we should not misunderstand, he may be a very diligent and hardworking fellow in his own affair. He may be a successful banker. He may be a successful businessman. He may be a successful straight A student. He may be a very hardworking person when it comes to his own affair. But if he deliberately ignores the purpose of God in his life, to the Lord he is a wicked and lazy servant. Paul warned the Christians in Philippi, "Are you looking out for your own personal interests only and not the interests of the Lord?" That's the question that we need to prompt ourselves. What does the Lord mean when he said that the least this man could do is to put his money in the bank and earn some interest? What does he mean by that? Money in the hand of the bankers. It means that we at least, the least we could do is to put ourselves in among the church of God so that God could work through the church to extend his kingdom on earth. You will be part of that work, and you will be part of the testimony of God in a corporate sense, in a corporate body. That's the least we could do. We may not be able to just go out on a mission to Africa to share the gospel to those people, but the least we could do is to put ourselves into his church and allow God to work and extend his kingdom through his church. Now, though the woman had 9 coins already, she was unwilling to let the number 10 silver coin to go missing. What did she do? What did the story tell us? It says she lit up a lamp and swept the house and searched carefully until she finds it. Isn't this how our Lord convicts us all the time? Through the Word of God, the light of the Holy Spirit shines into the darkened heart. When the Word of the Lord, when the Word of truth comes in, it illuminates our soul. Darkness is then cast out, and for the first time, we truly see our condition. We will then, under the light of the Holy Spirit, notice that we are actually full of dust, full of garbage, and probably we smell stinky, because we've been away, we've been hidden in the dark corner for so long. The Holy Spirit will come in and to sweep the house, to dispose of the worldly junk that we may have, and put the house in order again. Now he will carefully find out what really is the core of our problem. And in his own wisdom, he is going to come and he's going to deal with us. And finally, he will restore us back to its original useful state. And in here we can see that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now let's take a look at the last lost condition that the Lord Jesus described, and that is in Luke chapter 15 from verse 11 to 32. This is a long passage. I'll break this into two parts. Can I ask Chung to read it from verse 11 to 24 for us, please? Loud and slow, please.
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falls to me. And he divided unto them his liberty. And not many days after, his younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants do my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father's father, and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth quickly the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry.
Okay, thank you. Can I ask Phyllis to read from verse 25 to 32 for us, please.
Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattest calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Thank you. The condition of the lost sheep and the lost coin that we just mentioned is fully described in the story of the prodigal son that we just read. We know that the younger son was actually both the lost sheep and the lost coin. He was that lost sheep because he was trapped by his own foolish decision to leave the father, to lead his own life. He was the lost coin because he has lost his usefulness to his father when he was lost in darkness, in the pig hole, as the story told us. When he was away from the father, he has lost his usefulness. Now, we are all familiar with the prodigal son. But today, this morning, we want to take a look at the second prodigal son. The condition of the elder son, who was with the father all this time. Where do you think the elder son was when the younger son returned home? Where was he? Was he in the house rejoicing with his father over the return of his younger brother? No, rather, when he learned that what his father has done for the younger son, the story tells us that he became very angry. And he refused even to go into the house. The father asked, "Where are you, my son?" And the older son said, "I'm outside of your house for your information. And I'm not coming into the house." That's why I call him a second prodigal son. Not coming into the house. You know, the poor old father had to go out to the house to entreat him to come in. Brothers and sisters, do you see the heart of our Heavenly Father? Do you see how much this Father loved both of his sons? Do we truly see how great a measure of love our Heavenly Father has for all of us who are in one way or another a lost condition? Why was the elder son so angry? Who was he angry with? Was he angry with the younger brother who has now came home penniless? Or was he angry with his father who gave so liberally to celebrate the return of his brother? Look at how he answered his father's plea. The older son said, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you. I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a kid or a young goat that I may be merry with my friends. But when your son, this son of yours who devoured your wealth with harlot, you killed a fattened calf for him." Yes, this older son was both angry with his father and with his returned brother. But I might add, he was probably angry with himself as well. He was indeed that one angry young man who had labored, who had harbored so much of bitterness in his heart. Have you ever met this kind of Christian in your life? I have met quite a few. You know, these Christians, they're always in the church, they're serving the church, but their attitude is so critical, so judgmental. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to search our own heart. Is our spiritual condition has any resemblance to that of the older son? You are in the church meeting most of the time. You put in your service before God whenever you can. And yet you are not satisfied with the Father. and you're not happy with the church, and you're not, and you become critical with the service of the saints. What is the elder brother's problem? What is his problem? All his life in his father's house, he learned to be an obedient child. He did not neglect, as the story tells us, any command of his father. However, though he was with his father all the time, he did not quite understand his father's heart. Every day, his father would go out the house to wait for the younger son to return. The yearning, the longing expressed in his father's face, he noticed not. He did not understand his father's heart. It is sad to say that he performed all his duty for his father out of obligation. Out of duty, not out of love. What is the highest level of obedience? The secrets of true obedience is not obligation. It's love. No, it is not out of fear or out of some selfish motive, but love, that we serve God. This story has been commonly called the prodigal son. But the main theme of this story is not about the younger prodigal or the older prodigal. No, the main theme of this story is about the description of a long-suffering love of the Heavenly Father, his patience and his unfailing love for those self-centered, selfish children, those two sons that he had. And many a times we put our names there too. When we think about his love, the Heavenly Father, his mercy towards us, his grace towards us, it really allows us to see that his love is as high as the heaven. Why did the shepherd come to seek the lost sheep? Was it out of obligation that he did it? No, it is not out of obligation, because out of obligation will not require him to go that extra mile. Jesus, the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, loves the Father. He knows the Father's heart. He knows the Father's heart for the lost sheep. So the Son came and gave his life as a ransom for you and me to satisfy his Father's heart. And yes, that extra mile that our Lord Jesus has extended actually cost his very life. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for the lost sheep so that they can be redeemed back to the Father, so that we can be redeemed back to the Father. Why did the woman diligently search for the lost coin? Was it out of duty? No. The Holy Spirit, just like the woman, knows the hearts of the Heavenly Father. Isaiah tells us, can a woman forget the nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may have forgotten, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand, and your condition, your situation, your circumstance are continually before me. After the son has completed this salvation by dying on that cross and ascend up to heaven, then the Holy Spirit was sent to be the light of the world, shining through darkness, searching, cleaning carefully to recover the lost coin back to the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Why did the Heavenly Father have to go out of the house to entreat the older son to come back? It seems to be something that is inappropriate for a father's stature, something inappropriate for him to do, to go to the eldest son and entreat him to come in. He has to go out to explain to him, to plead with him, to plead with the older son who has absolutely no understanding of the father's heart. Do you see how much God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loves us? Today God is still calling out for you and me. Where are you now, my son? Where are you? You know, we all would think, we consider that, yes, the younger prodigal son needs to repent because he's been lost and he now needs to come back to the father. But do you also see the need for the older son to repent? Do you see the need there? Even though he has been with the father, even though he has been performing service for the father, but he needs to repent. What about you? Is your spiritual condition before God acceptable? Do you have the heart of the Heavenly Father? The older son, many a times, is just like the Pharisee and the scribes, who were so self-righteous, who always find fault in others and neglecting the law in his own eyes. Do you think repentance is only required the first time when you accepted the Lord? No, we need to repent before the Lord daily. Listen to what the Lord has to say to the church of Ephesus. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men. But I have this one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Remember where you have fallen. In other words, think how and where you have fallen. In the past, you used to rejoice when the Lord visited your garden, your heart, in other words. You used to delight in spending time and drawing near to Him. You used to meditate on His Word. You used to trust Him with a childlike faith. You used to lean on Him and inquire of Him of what you need to do, what you should do in your next step. Where have you been fallen? Have you allowed yourself to become so busy with your daily living that you no longer find time for the Lord? No quiet time before the Lord. No time waiting or drawing close to Him. You let the affair of this temporal life occupy yourself and the rubbish of this world to pollute your heart. Yes, this heart of ours should be a locked garden. It used to be a place where the Lord would come and enjoy your love. Now, this locked garden of your heart has been unlocked and open to the things of the world and open to the things of the flesh. How much we need to repent of our wanton condition before the Lord. The Lord said, repent and do the deeds that you did first. What is the consequence of not repenting? The Lord said, or else I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. He who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. And for those who overcome, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the reason God is calling out, where are you? God wants us to realize this very fact, that maybe if we examine ourselves, our heart unknowingly has gone away, have gone off track, and how much we need to come back to Him. May the light of the Holy Spirit continue to speak to our hearts so that somehow the Lord will be able to recover his lost sheep. He will be able to recover his lost coin so that the coin will become useful in the hand of the woman. That the father will be able to recover his prodigal son so that they would have an understanding of the heart of the father. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we, under the question that you asked, where are you? Lord, we know truly in our heart that there are still many things in our hearts that we are not quite ready to come with an open arm, with an open heart towards you. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to shine and convict our heart, so that, Lord, you will bring us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Oh, Lord, how much we need you to come and save us from our condition, so that, Lord, we will be able to be recovered back to the state of usefulness that you intend our life to be. Come and bless each and every one of us who is sitting before you this morning. In your precious name we pray. Amen.